Heavenly Father.
And we're back. We're doing a half episode this time. Welcome to another half edition of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. Mm. I am your co-host, Mike One. This is my co-host, also Mike.
I'm also Mike. What a feeling to be back.
I can't see what you did there. I was going to ask you, when's the last time you sang to your father? 1983. The movies of 1983 was the 84 Oscars. We're doing these half episodes for Best Original Song, as we've done previously. If you have not joined us yet for a half episode, if you haven't had that pleasure in your life, just to fill you in, we do these episodes that are kind of half the length of a regular episode, thus the creative name. And we concentrate instead on a movie category for the Oscars. We usually do Best Original Song,
right,
which is what we're going to do today as well, covering the Best Original Song category for the 83-84 Oscars. And the unique taste in those is that while we know somewhat what we're talking about with movies, we know far less with what we're talking about with music.
Far, far less. Yes, we touch on songs from Celine Dion to Nat King Cole all the way to Dirty Dancing,
yes,
anthems. So both in the literal and figurative sense.
Yeah, if the mood calls for it, we'll perform the Dirty Dancing
and
move.
And today we got some more of those because we're mining the 80s again. Here we are.
That's right. After 84 was such a rousing success for us.
I was like, Mike, do we really do another one for the 80s? Should we like check out the 70s?
You know, maybe no!
Disco.
More gold. Actually, we're doing 83, like we said, the movies of 83, and far less offensive.
Oh my
than,
God.
than the songs of the sung next year.
We had Vitriol for 84.
Oh my,
and it
disgusting.
Wasn't because of the songs.
No.
The songs are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I'd like to, you know, set that record straight a little bit.
Because of the subject matter.
The music videos and the subject matter, on the other hand, or the subject matter in the music videos was appalling.
Yeah, so no worry about pedophilia here. No worry about racism, really. We're just kind of touching on, you know, some cross-dressing.
Yeah, just
sexuality,
you know, but just montage,
right,
about dancing for your life.
Right, and some exotic dancing, which never really hurt anyone,
no,
except for the time that stripper bit my buddy in the ear. But we're going to be talking about the movies of 1983 and 84.
Sorry, I had to catch my breath there for a minute.
We give you a little background. The 56th Academy Awards, held April 9th, 1984, at where else?
Which ear?
I think it was the right one. She stole his hat, and then she said later on in the night, "You're never going to get your hat back," and then bit him in the ear.
Uh-huh. I think we need to do 15 minutes on this.
Held April 9th, 1984, where else but the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion in Los Angeles. Johnny Carson was the host. Terms of Endearment was the leader in the clubhouse that night with both nominations and award wins. It took home 5 Oscars out of the possible 11 it was nominated for. And we are given 5 songs covering 3 movies once again, much like in the, what was it, 91, 92 Best Original category. We had only 3 movies. We had 2 from Aladdin, 2 from the
Bodyguard,
Whitney Houston Bodyguard,
yep,
movie,
yep,
and then 1 from the Mambo Kings. This one we have 2 from Flashdance, 2 from Yentl, and 1, of course, from the movie Tender Mercies, which was a Robert Duvall win for Best Leading Actor on the night, playing an old country singer.
I have connections to the 2 out of the 3 of these movies, and that's a good movie, Tender Mercies. We'll get to it. Flashdance, What a Feeling, I guess, is number 1 here. It took home the award, topped the Billboard Hot 100 chart, also earned Kara a platinum record, a Golden Globe for Best Song, and a Grammy for Best Female Pop Vocal Performance. Flashdance was directed by Adrienne Lynn of Fatal Attraction. We reviewed that one,
mm-hmm,
with Glenn Close there. And written by Thomas Headley Jr. from Iris and the legendary Joe Esterhaas from Basic Instinct fame. The film stars Jennifer Beals, Michael Nowry, almost Kevin Costner. I almost wanted to do a production profile for this one, but
almost Kevin Costner with almost Jennifer Grey.
Almost, right? But Kevin Costner almost got this part. Anyway, Lilia Scala as well.
The Flashdance song is actually called Flashdance ... What a Feeling, from the movie Flashdance. Music and lyrics by Giorgio Moroder.
You need to have a ... in the headline of this episode, in the title.
Maybe that'll be the only title, just ... Keith Forsey and Irene Cara, performed, of course, by Irene Cara. Here's a little taste of it.
Take your passion and make it happen.
catchy, isn't it?
It's very catchy. I grew up with this song, man. It was played at every wedding.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
Growing up in the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah, man, now this is, I'm very familiar with this song.
Carr was just on the heels 2 years earlier, becoming the first performer to have two songs nominated from the same film in this category, from the movie Fame, the song Fame, and Out Here on My Own. She actually won the Grammy 2 years prior in 81 for Fame, so she's kind of the go-to right now in terms of getting a Best Original Song nominated, and here she has another one, another win, Flashdance.
A golden age for her there.
What about the music video here? What'd you say?
So, I have music. There's a lot of music videos to look at online.
Yeah, there are.
I think that it might be questionable whether or not this movie holds up. I think it does. I watched it maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and I hope it does. But I think the scene tells a lot of things. So she's going against some screwed up stuff because, Mike, have you ever seen five white asshole judges like this just judging anybody, anything? If this happened in real life, let me just put it to you this way.
Uh-huh.
Should the human race survive?
Like if we're putting this much stock into a dance solo competition?
No, it's just the worst thing in the world. Like, she's got to go out and perform like she's taking an oral history exam to save her sorority from being, you know, put into probation or something in a college
movie.
She's
tired of shaking her ass for dollar bills. She wants to make something with her life.
She's in a library. There's a guy with a cigar. There's a guy that just gives thumbs up like willy-nilly.
Like
there's
Chuck Norris in Dodgeball, yeah.
Right, the female executive who looks like she should have been Ivan Drago's posse in Rocky IV.
Right, right.
And then, I don't know, an older man. And did I mention the cigar? Yeah, there's a cigar.
You mentioned the cigar. Yeah, and it's just left that.
And none of them are paying attention. So she slips right at the beginning
yeah,
of the song.
Yeah.
And she has
the
gall to say, just relax, let's start again. I just thought that was so poignant.
It was pretty cool to see. I don't know if it was planned or not, but it seemed to fit right in with this narrative of the girl, you know, taking her life in her hands and going to do this. And what a feeling.
Yes, it is crazy to watch in terms of the fact that it's a medium shot, right? Most of is a medium shot where you can see most of, quote unquote, what you think is Jennifer Beals. It is not. It is her stunt double, her dancing double for most of that scene, which is shocking to me because, can you tell? I can't tell.
It's tough to tell. I kind of tipped you off, or at least tipped me off, when you see the bottom half of her is doing that snake-like movement, and yeah, it only shows the bottom half, and then it shows the top half, like her head down, and look, she's moving out of tune with it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the same person.
Maureen Jahan, she is the incredible dancer who is the stunt double for Jennifer Beals throughout the movie. They didn't really publicize her in the 80s because that was the way of the 80s.
Yeah. Why should people that actually do the work?
But they also, yeah, they didn't want to screw up the illusion for folks that Jennifer Beals is doing it all, but
not the one actually breaking it down there. The cinematography, I thought, was like wild for just a one woman dancing alone in a hallway,
yeah,
type scene.
I mean, how many ways can you shoot it? That many ways,
right? You're getting like these close ups on the feet, and the shadows are being crushed because there's natural daylight coming through these separated windows. I thought it was really cool looking for what it was. It didn't need to be that cool. It was more than it could have been. It should
right.
have been.
A year later, I think Footloose takes a lot of those yeah, that camera work there. They go a little overboard on the shot of the foot.
Footloose is just a straight up foot fetish video. Yeah,
perhaps. Whereas Maniac, we'll talk about the next, has yeah, other fetishes.
Yes,
involved.
Also, yeah.
Some unique dancing there, throwing that one arm in the air, like fist pumping in the air, right? Guidos would take that a little too far later on.
You
but
know what I
and
stop?
Also high stepping backwards while she's doing that, like a marching band, so band leader, right?
Or a Nazi, yeah, either or.
Well, but if she put her hand out in front of her right, face, it's like a Nazi. I'm doing the movement now in the studio. Sorry.
You know what I couldn't stop thinking of, though? And this is just because I'm a bad person and a total cynic. Imagine if you were at a wedding and one person took the dance floor and was doing these moves and they were the only person on the dance floor. You would be like, you'd be looking at your buddies like, what the fuck are they doing?
It had to have happened at every single wedding. Right. Might have been me at some weddings. I don't know. I was a little kid.
I'm going to get this dance floor going. Going to find my inner Beals here.
Doing the exact same dance.
Right.
I mean, it's just telegraphed for it.
Right.
Yeah. No, the leap with reckless abandon there to roll on the ground. I mean, that's super duper athletic.
Yeah, no, totally. I know I'm criticizing a woman for laying it all on the line, and I can only do like the white boy John Cena, you can't see me, move over and over.
Get back to the song. I mean, it kind of stays, it doesn't get like too crazy. Like Maniac builds up.
This is going to reveal what I think of my final rankings, but I'm surprised this won compared to its competition. It doesn't feel like an Academy song. Right. It feels almost like more cartoonish.
It's a pop song, yeah.
Yeah, right. Like more easygoing and wide variety, not made for something special.
Something I'm going to criticize later on. I don't like musicals that just sing the plot at you.
Well, that's
it. And this is literally singing the plot at
you. Right. But, and it's showing you the plot of the movie, too, in some of the music videos.
Yeah, so it's almost like the subtext is the actual subtext and text is the wrong way to put it. The thing is this. Like, if you're going to give me just on-the-nose whatever, on-the-nose music, on-the-nose dialogue, you better make it a spectacle to enjoy. Like, at least, I don't want to put that in the wrong way. She's awesome.
Yeah, and that's it. But her running out to her Paul O'Neill cosplay boyfriend at the end wasn't enough of a spectacle for you, is what you're saying?
And then the freeze frame.
Where he hands her not only a bouquet of dozen roses, but a full grown pit bull with a giant bow on it. Like, surprise! Here's this adult dog you've always wanted.
It's a big win.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Credits. Yeah.
I don't remember this movie well enough. It was
I don't think I've ever seen this movie, and I think I've seen the movie now.
Ridiculous. Yes. That's all I want to say. I think it was good. Like, the scene moved me.
Yeah.
I felt good about
myself. It's a positive message. Yeah. It's a positive message, and I almost called her Jennifer Grey. Jennifer Beals, her Alex Owens character, she's working her ass off, so is her stunt double.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are positives to take away. It's much less absurd than some of the stuff we covered in the next year. So that's points in
the
favor
weird.
Of this.
Maybe they just, it's always action reaction, so it was a backlash, so we have nice empowerment types of statements in this,
so we got to slip those pedophile jingles in.
Next year we got to get back to the norm.
The second song, second nominee from the same movie of Flashdance, here is Maniac.
That played through. It's a great song. I mean, in terms of guilty pleasures, I mean, that's an all-timer, correct?
Did Homer Simpson sing this at some point, or am I making...
Chris Farley did in Black Sheep, or was it Tommy Boy? It was Tommy Boy.
I don't remember.
He was at the gas station, and David Spade is like spraying him off with water, then went cow-tipping.
Yes! 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 Yeah. Thank you for reminding me.
Great scene.
It was a great scene. But of course, his moves in that scene were inspired by, again, Jennifer Beals' character here doing the running in place for over and over and over.
Not a lot of variety. I don't think the stunt double helped her in these shots.
That stunt double, I've seen more of her butt in this.
I think that's Jennifer Beals' butt.
Whoever,
because otherwise, if the stunt doubles work in there, they would have done a lot of things.
Well, whoever butt it is, like with all the jumping and running in place and stuff, like you could see why it looks like it's made out of a pound of granite.
Right.
Like it looks like it is like if you fired a quarter off that thing, it'd get sent into orbit.
I'm not complaining.
It's like the most toned backside I've ever seen on a human being.
It's toned. Are we going to get into the specs? Or are we just going to go?
it's this 5-minute music video of just a woman's butt.
We're red-blooded men. It's hot.
It's also awkward. You're just staring at a butt for 5 minutes while somebody talks about being a maniac on the floor.
Maniac on the floor. It's a Steel Town girl. Time of her life.
A really odd artistic choice, I thought.
A very direct one. So, music and lyrics by Michael Cimbello and Dennis Matkowski.
Oh, yeah, those things.
Performed by Michael Cimbello. 2 weeks at number one in the Billboard Hot 100. Soundtrack won a Grammy for Best Album of Original Score Written for Motion Picture or Television Specials. Grammys had way too much verbiage in their awards.
A lot of categories.
Yeah.
They cut those down, huh?
You got anything else?
No, I was just focusing on the butt part of it, but maybe one of the most famous scenes, along with the Dirty Dancing move, maybe one of the most famous scenes in any dance montage in movie history.
Yes, and I can't believe it's 4 minutes of her jogging in place with a, you know.
Yeah, it's literally.
And it's literally just focused right on her ass.
It's and I know we sound gross, but that's what this video is.
We sound gross.
But that's what the video is.
Yes, it is.
Like, it's her.
Number one.
It's her taping her feet up, getting ready to dance, and then it's just her running
also,
in place.
Yeah, she's also stretching. Yeah, I mean, it's tasteful, though. It's gratuitous, but it's also, you know, tasteful.
How
they're
do
showing
we get
her stretch.
Men interested in this movie.
It's dynamic stretching. Now she's ready for her workout. That's really all it accomplished. Like, she didn't actually learn the entire choreography of any dance.
Well, it's her. The premise of this is that she was a part-time exotic dancer, and she is right. trying to get into this prestigious school. It looked like this was part. I've never seen the movie. I don't know if that's a point against me, but it looks like this was part of her exotic dancing, because she's on stage and you just basically see her silhouette at the end, and she's kind of dancing for this darkened audience. I don't know if that's part of the artistic part or if that's part of the exotic dancing part. I imagine the way that the water was dumped on herself at the end, it has something to do with being the exotic dancing. But
I don't know if I just watched the running with the butt on loop, if I watched the wrong YouTube video, because it just seemed repetitive what they're doing.
It is. That's why it really is a crazy artistic choice that they made.
I know
video.
The music video has like the full montage from the whole movie.
Right.
Yeah. You got the big payoff.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what was that. Did she get the water dumped?
Yeah.
On
she
her
like
the
pulls
end
a
of
cord,
that scene.
She pulls a cord and the bucket of water gets dumped on her while she's like propped up against the chair.
That's just her alone in the warehouse?
No, it's not her alone. She's performing for an audience, but it's not like, it doesn't look like a strip club or anything. It's just, I don't know.
I'm going to have to rewatch this movie immediately.
Very, very, very odd choices going on in this video, but no pun intended.
Yeah. Just a steel town girl on a Saturday night looking for the time of her life. I mean, there's a mental hospital intercut in that music video that's a little nutty. I don't know.
It's
if you
like
saw
straight
that.
Out of Marilyn Manson.
Right. That was weird because you got all of the well shot, big production value of the actual clips, you know, of the movie.
Yeah,
you're
showing the plot of the movie, and then you cut to this like Jennifer Beals.
I mean, I get it. She's a maniac. It's 1983.
Right, but this is like putting the hammer on like on the nose. You want to talk about
sweet dreams are made of this.
You see her in this white wall, white padded wall with a white face paint. It's weird music video. Weird music video. The song itself, I've never really been crazy about. I know.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah,
totally.
You seem to be big on it. That's
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, of course. Whatever, bro.
I loved how easy it was to gain fame back then. Just say maniac into this microphone 1,800 times, please. Thank you. Here's your money. Well, I guess we should move on.
If we have to, I guess.
Let's move on to Over You from the Tender Mercies.
And I hope that isn't pity in your eyes. I've tried so hard to stay away and keep you off my mind. I know I should, but it's no good, 'cause time goes by and I'm not over you. I'll gladly be a fool in love again. If there's a chance that you might see me, touch me, want me, ever need me, I'm still going crazy over you.
That was sweet.
Nice.
It's a sweet movie. A little laid back. I don't know. It's from the movie Tender Mercies. Music and lyrics by Austin Roberts and Bobby Hart. It's either performed by Lane Brody or Betty Buckley.
I think it's Betty Buckley.
I think it's Lane Brody was nominated for the Oscar, and I think Betty Buckley went on to sing it on her own career afterwards. It's really tough
remember.
To tell.
Lane Brody is the country music singer.
Right, and
Betty Buckley is the actress in the movie. I don't remember the movie, and we could not find this clip on YouTube at all.
Yeah, no,
so
it doesn't
exist. That's why we're guessing here. But I thought it was when Robert Duvall goes to visit his ex-wife, who's a country music star.
Right.
In the movie. And it has something to do with, and you know, she's on stage singing that. I don't remember now. Well, now Lane, I'm all screwed up.
Yeah, Lane Brody, there is a recording I found on YouTube of her at some variety show about to sing it. And she says, this is a song of mine that was nominated. So I think it's her song.
Yeah, regardless.
However it works, I'm giving credit to both women because they both sang it.
Tender Mercies was directed by Bruce Beresford of Driving Miss Daisy fame, written by Horton Foote, who won the Best Original Screenplay that year. And who also won Best Adapted screenplay To Kill a Mockingbird 20 years earlier.
Wow, no
How
kidding.
About that career?
Wow.
20 years apart from the screenplay Oscar nominees. Horton Foote. Mm. Tender Mercy stars Robert Duvall, won the movie's other Oscar that year for Best Lead Actor. Tess Harper, Betty Buckley, Wilford Brimley, and Ellen Barkin also star. Five Oscars. I remember liking this movie, Best Picture, Best Director. May come across it during one of our retrospectives at some point.
Yeah, it might be on the horizon. We'll see how it turns out. It's amazing to me, listening to both versions, the Lane Brody version and the Betty Buckley version, the same song, same lyrics, almost the same music, but they're sung in very different ways. One's more Lane Brody's, more country, traditional country.
Right. Sound,
I have no evidence to back this up with, but I'm going to state this as fact. This was meant for Dolly Parton. It sounds like a Dolly Parton song.
Yeah, perhaps. I think Lane Brody, her voice is so crisp. It sounds like a recording. It just sounds so professional.
Yeah,
true. Anyways, and I'm putting it the wrong way in terms of contrasting it to Betty Buckley. Betty Buckley sounds like an actor playing a character singing a song. And that's what I loved about watching these, or listening to the two songs in two different YouTube videos there. Like, Lane Brody sounds like a country music hit.
Totally.
You know, just good old country music.
And she was a frequent member of the Billboard Top 100 for country songs throughout her career.
I'm not a huge country music fan, but there's always a country music song that I like every once in a while in a movie, whatever. Tonight Show performance from Betty Buckley singing not just Over You, but then going into Memory.
Oh, really?
So I had to look up Betty Buckley's career.
Yeah.
So she was just a Broadway legend, won a Tony for Cats, and then did a million other things. Then she was a TV. She's still acting in TV from 76 to today. She's been acting in movies. So she's been a triple threat.
Good
literally.
For her. Yeah.
I just think it was so amazing to watch her sing Over You, right? Like a country music star, like a seasoned vet.
Yeah.
Someone who has gigs every night, right? And that's her character singing that song on the Johnny Carson show.
So you think she was in the Tender Mercies character the whole time every time she performed?
Yeah, but here's here's the thing, because she goes and talks to Johnny Carson in the video, and then she goes back on stage and she's like a British feline or what. I never seen cats. She's British and she's pulling off this character like she's some cat in London. I don't know what is Cats. Somebody tell me what Cats is. I'm not familiar, but I mean, it's amazing. Her transformation, singing one song to the next. I couldn't get over it.
That's a pretty cool point. She does have the more, Betty Buckley, I mean, has the more like sultry type performance. It's more, I got like a Melissa Etheridge type vibe when I listen to it.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things, but yeah.
She's got that hearty voice.
Yeah.
You could tell like there's a lot of personality in that voice.
So fair play to both women. Good song.
I have never listened to the song Memory in my life, ever. Just not my cup of tea. I stayed and kept watching this video just to hear her perform it. I mean, that's performing a song.
You have a new muse now. The Betty Buckley won you over with this performance.
She's fantastic. Broadway legend, colossal talent, Jesus H. Christ.
There you go.
That's what I wrote. I wrote all those things down.
I guess we'll move on now to Papa, Can You Hear Me? From Yentl.
Papa, please forgive me. Try to understand me. Papa, don't you know I had no choice? Can you hear me praying? Anything I'm saying, even though the night is filled with voices. I remember everything you taught me, every book I've ever read. Can all the words in all the books help me to face what lies ahead? The trees are so much taller, and I feel so much smaller. The moon is twice as lonely, and the stars are half as bright.
Just Bab Streisand and a lit candle.
Isn't it the same opening as Let It Go?
Papa.
Took me a second. If you haven't seen Deadpool 2, Ryan Reynolds makes that observation throughout the movie. It's a running gag, and it's pretty well established. Pretty good.
You got specs?
Yeah, music by Michael LeGrand, lyrics by Alan Bergman and Marilyn Bergman. Song, of course, by Barbara Streisand, who's the main character in the movie Yentl. It's about a young Jewish woman trying to pose. It's basically the origin story of the Amanda Bynes classic, She's the Man.
It's Twelfth Night,
where a young Jewish woman goes and poses as a boy to go through religious school.
Yeah, She's the Man. Actually, a remake of Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. There, Michael.
So Amanda Bynes starred in a William Shakespeare adaptation.
Apparently, I think I had to watch that. I learned something today.
That doesn't surprise me that you had to watch this in a class.
I was like, yeah, it was a Shakespeare class. I think it was in college, actually, because we wanted to screw, you know,
right.
You, like, put it on at the end of the semester.
Well, there you go. My joke turned into a learning
that
opportunity.
That class was worth $600, whatever it was. Great tuition well spent there.
But this is Barbara Streisand in Yentl singing to her since-deceased father. And saying, can you hear me? I need you. I love you, etc.
Yeah, covered by Charlotte Church, Nina Simone, Glee, which could be said for all these songs.
Yeah,
Glee's done
every
like
song ever.
1983 yeah. to the hilt. Parodies in Austin Powers' Goldmember, Deadpool 2, like you said, mm-hmm. and in Mike, and Oscar. We talked about it a couple weeks ago.
We have, when I was confusing Yentl for Fiddler on the Roof. Unforgivable Sin.
Yentl's co-written and directed by Barbara Streisand, she's also famous for The Prince of Tides. As a director, that is. The film stars Barbara Streisand, where she's famous for everything she's mm-hmm. done. Mm-hmm. Amy Irving and Mandy Patinkin. Film won an Oscar for Best Original Score out of 5 nominations that year, including Best Supporting Actress for Amy Irving. And in the movie, she's kind of lighting a candle and singing to the dark sky.
Minimalist. Very minimalist.
Yeah.
It's just Barbara Streisand with a lit candle, and sometimes we get shots of the sky, but most of the time it's a close-up of her face straight on. Most
I think
of the time
she's really singing, too, because that candle's like going nuts.
That's true. You that's know, a good point, yeah.
In front of her face there.
It does seem like a hell of a song for me, anyway. I mean, good Lord, her voice.
Good song. I know it's a meaningful song for a lot of people who've lost their fathers.
Mm.
You know, it's one of those songs that's gone down as one of the best father-daughter songs.
Easy, relatable, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's an important song in that way. She's an overwhelming talent. I just watched her in A Star Is Born.
I'd
never seen it before.
The original, okay,
I just popped up on Netflix. I'm like, crap, let me do this.
Yeah,
and Streisand and Chris Christopherson.
That's right.
2.5 hours. An hour too long, easily.
Oh, God. That's
easily.
Not good. That's
I mean,
not
good. How good does the Gaga trailer look?
It's either going to be great or it's going to be such a sappy...
But it looks good. The
yeah,
trailer
does.
Looks
I'm
good,
I'm hoping
correct?
It's good. Yeah,
who's
it does.
Who's
it
the director star? What's his name?
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper. Thank you.
Yeah.
And it looked great, so I'm like, let me do this. I never really got into Barbara Streisand before, and all right, let me watch this. And it was just...
Oh, that's sad to hear.
I mean, her performances are great.
Of course, yeah.
But it's just like sing the plot at me, and you know, I don't know, not a huge fan.
Also,
he can't sing at all. By the way, Chris Christopherson. I hope Bradley Cooper can sing a little bit, because it makes no sense.
We're gonna find out.
He's the established star, and then all of a sudden he just stumbles
getting blown
upon,
away by the rookie. He just finds in
someone
a
of Streisand's or a Gaga's talent, and then they're like hanging out, just riffing. He's got the guitar. He's like. And then she's like,
beautiful.
It's ridiculous.
I am terrified, by the way, of Bradley Cooper's accent throughout that trailer. He's trying to get that low southern thing going there, pretty lady. And come on, man. But that's neither here nor there. What is here, speaking of weird decisions, did you notice who sung this at the Oscars?
No.
The Oscars had like this weird thing. This was one of the only two Oscar performances I could find of these 5 movies, but the Oscars had this weird thing in the mid-80s where they had other people sing these songs that were nominated, people that had nothing to do with the nomination.
That's why like 84 was weird.
Yeah.
The few we found.
Exactly. Donna Summer is singing Papa, Can You Hear Me? And Donna Summer's got a great, powerful voice.
Yeah.
But it made me appreciate Barbara Streisand's voice all the more.
They're very different.
Yeah. Barbara, I mean, she just sounded like she was having trouble hitting the same runs, the octave runs and stuff that Barbara Streisand was pulling off in this. So
the versatility that Streisand has is something. It's almost like these songs are like non-traditional for musicals and stuff. So I was interested in just the cadence. I don't know the musical language for it, the terminology, but the cadence of that song is very weird.
I'm with
it's sung later in a round that just the next video played on YouTube. So I watched another song and it's sung later, which is on a boat, which was interesting. And they worked it in well. Listen, I've never seen Yentl. I never really wanted to see Yentl. Is it my duty as a film critic to see Yentl?
I think it might be, especially after the final nomination here.
Yeah.
I'm going to go into it. Too. The Way He Makes Me Feel from Yentl.
Performed by Michael LeGrand, lyrics by Alan and Marilyn Bergman. The Way He Makes Me Feel, performed by Billy Ocean. No, I'm kidding. Barbara Streisand there.
My favorite body of water. The Billy Ocean.
Reached number 40 on the Billboard Top 100. Spent 2 weeks at number one on the Adult Contemporary chart in the U.S. and Canada. I don't like when movies sing the plot to me. Unless it's Disney, I guess sometimes, Chicago, Dreamgirls, a couple bad musicals in the 2000s. I didn't like those movies because it's just like...
You weren't a fan of Chicago?
No.
I like Chicago.
And then Dreamgirls is just like, Jennifer Hudson, beautiful voice, Beyonce, beautiful voice, just singing the plot at me.
Yeah.
For
yeah,
2 hours.
You're not wrong. Yeah, they definitely...
It's phenomenal,
on the nose.
All right, so you'd better have fantastic songs when you do that. And in Dreamgirls, is still entertainment value because it's so...
And you.
But then when Eddie Murphy's going... No, that's the problem. And then he gets nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Are you kidding me?
He was supposed to win that year, too. It was an upset that he lost. Yeah, I don't know. This the placement of this in the movie is a little bizarre.
Yeah, but we're actually getting a story in some of this, which is interesting because I'm finally figuring out what the hell this story is about. Like, she's got the hots for Mandy Patinkin.
Who doesn't?
I'm into that potential romance. Those two seem like they should hit it off.
Yeah, but she's got the hots so badly that she needs to sing to a tree and then rub her breasts when she's alone.
Well, she's pretending to be a boy the rest of the time, so she's got to remind herself, I guess.
Oh,
it's the same thing as Flashdance. What's the difference?
I guess. I don't know. I've never
She's
felt
alone
feelings.
In a warehouse, thrusting at the air.
Yeah, so this is...
Barbara's singing in a mirror.
This is what Barbara Streisand does. She runs away to like her own abode there, her room in this school, man. And she's starting to undress, and she just like... It's not like overtly
no,
like,
no, there's no
nude
here
or anything.
No.
But she just like starts touching herself a little bit and singing about wanting this boy.
I didn't know what the hell the movie's about. I was like, is she pretending to be a boy? What? With those looping eyebrows? What? This is the 19-1?
This has just been a criticism of butts and eyebrows this episode. We're really going to gain listeners.
Does that even make sense? And then I'm like, I have Mandy Patinkin ass. Look at it. It's a good story in this music video. Like, they did this fan video for it. I was able to watch that as well. And it's just like a lot of Mandy Patinkin ass. And Barbara.
That's how you get people in the theater, Mike.
I think I watched the wrong music videos for all of these songs.
Jennifer Holliday sang this at the Academy Awards. Funny that you mentioned Jennifer Hudson, because Jennifer Holliday also performed an early version of Dreamgirls there, the You're Gonna Love Me skit and song on Broadway. So I don't know.
I don't know either. I like the song. I like the pickup of the song, how it really turns into high gear there. Only Barbara Streisand can kind of pull it off. She's kind of walking and singing in the woods, which is interesting.
Yeah, but to review, you had Barbra Streisand cosplaying as a young man, supposedly in Jewish religious training school.
Yeah, poor Mandy
touching
Patinkin.
Herself over Mandy Patinkin.
Mandy's getting very confused. Like, cause she's not an ugly woman. I mean, she's just
no,
like,
not at all.
So
yeah.
It's just like he's I don't know. He's confused.
Not touching. I've said enough bad stuff this episode.
Right.
Well, that's perfect musical perfection with these five nominated songs.
Five good songs, though.
They are, especially when contrasted with the next year coming down the pipe, which we already did.
And these are five videos that, yes, they may have been a little gratuitous in terms of...
Yeah, the artistic choices are a little whatever, but it was also the 80s. But the songs are more wholesome and more...
At least they
to
cater
to
us, you, and not, you know...
Actual human beings.
Right,
yeah.
Jerry Sandusky, like
right,
last
exactly.
episode.
What was your number five?
Papa, Can You Hear Me?
Oh, my God!
It's hard to do. It's hard
no!
to pick these songs. It really is. I mean, this song would be a top three in most of the years we've done.
Yeah.
Honestly. So I really like the five songs.
Yeah, I do too. Way He Makes Me Feel is my number five.
Okay. When we That's my number four, The Way He Makes Me
my
Feel.
My four is Maniac.
Maniac. Okay, you're probably correct.
Maniac.
You are correct. I'll just say that.
Maniac.
It's higher up there for me. What are some threes?
That's all right. Papa, Can You Hear Me is my number one, too. Number three for me is Over You.
Yes, also my. I just, you know, what a talent, what a personality in that song.
Nice, easy listening song, too, even though it's kind of about...
Again, it's kind of good to see, like, a few flaws in the singer. Like, she doesn't hit all the notes perfectly. Like, Lane Brody hits all the notes perfectly.
Yeah, that's true.
Her and Barbra Streisand sound like angels. They're almost too perfect. They're on the record, right? That's the stuff you play on the record in a recording studio where you can hear every nuance of the voice. When you're in the theater and you're actually performing it as a character, I just thought that was fascinating to watch Betty Buckley shift, just change faces from the country music star to the cat, and
I'm still in awe over the fact of how you could take the same song, the same notes, the same lyrics, the same meanings, and just have it hit your ear two completely different ways. That's kind of cool.
These are three movies that I'm damn curious to watch now.
Certainly more than before, which is not something we said about the next year's songs.
Never thought. No. I don't want to rewatch the 84 movies and ruin my childhood. And I don't want to watch those new music videos ever again. Yeah, they're just like insidious.
I'm Flashdance 2, Papa, Can You Hear Me 1.
I have What a Feeling at number 2.
You have Maniac at number 1.
I have Maniac at number 1.
So we did it. We had our best songs, the other guy's almost worst, and vice versa.
I'm wrong. I think Maniac is a fun song. Talk about a wedding
Maniac.
Song. I have a lot of connections to that
Maniac.
Song growing up. What a Feeling has the best
Maniac.
Scene. It has the best scene by a lot in all five of these movies, I think, because I don't remember the Tender Mercy scene. Maniac. Will you agree with me on the best scene is What a Feeling?
Maniac. Yes, no, I do agree with you.
Mike is short circuit.
Maniac actually, to me, has the more iconic scene. With the bucket being dropped. Like I said, between that and Dirty Dancing is when he's lifting Jennifer Grey up over his head. I think those are the two most iconic scenes and dance numbers in movie history.
No, look, we're shameful and disgusting for loving these movies and loving these scenes as much as we do. But we can't help ourselves. Again, we always told you we would be honest with the audience. We would be honest with you
it's
all.
It's not our fault they decided to have 5 minutes of butt. I'm sorry.
I know.
I apologize. We promised less butt the next episode.
1964, less butt.
So make sure you tune in then. We're going to have another half-sode in the pipe. We're recording two today. This will probably be the first one we release. Even though we went a little long here, that's all right. And you can reach out to us and you can yell at us about the too much butt or not enough butt in our other episodes. Let us know. We're Mike, and Oscar on Facebook, Mike, and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on Twitter, Mike, and Oscar at gmail.com, Mike, and Oscar.com, Mike, and Oscar on Reddit. We're everywhere. You type in Mike, and Oscar, you'll see our bright, smiling faces. And if you leave us a review, we'd really appreciate those. And as those start coming in, maybe we'll start reading some more on air here on iTunes.
Yes, thank you for that.
That's it. Any parting words of wisdom?
What a feeling.
Maybe.